B-Pod Studios.
A Sports Hub. Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
That ain't five, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray knows he's got a lot of work days ahead of him. He's working this weekend. I think you're working next week, Joe.
I'm here Monday and Friday. I think it was Jones one day, I think.
Yeah, I think it's me and, apologies in advance, Fred, but I think it's me and Wallach next week. I thought you were in with us all week, no?
Lockhart's in. Depending, I don't know, he's on vacation, so we'll find out his status.
All right. Every time Lockhart goes to Mexico, COVID breaks out.
Bad things happen.
Literally,
when he comes
back.
That is
good point.
He pressed it right before COVID hit last time, and he goes there now, and the mask mandate at work is back, apparently. So Joey Murr, the Murr man, Jones, I saw you reference this in an email chain. He refers to himself, you know, as the lobster now.
Yes.
Because he gets low in the sea. And he loves butts is what he loves. And so
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want you to go, and like, oh yeah.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
This is it. What? Luchini pouring from the sky. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Joe Murray knows he's got a lot of work days ahead of him. He's working this weekend. I think you're working next week, Joe.
I'm here Monday and Friday. I think it was Jones one day, I think.
Yeah, I think it's me and, apologies in advance, Fred, but I think it's me and Wallach next week. I thought you were in with us all week, no?
Lockhart's in. Depending, I don't know, he's on vacation, so we'll find out his status.
All right, every time Lockhart goes to Mexico, COVID breaks out.
Bad things happen.
Literally,
when he comes back.
That is
good point.
He pressed it right before COVID hit last time, and he goes there now, and the mask mandate at work is back, apparently. Joey Murr, the Murr man, Jones, I saw you reference this in an email chain. He refers to himself, you know, as the lobster now.
Yes.
Because he gets low in the sea, and he loves butts is what he loves. And so what happened is, earlier in the week, he was going on and on and on about this Ashley Alexis. He was saying how lovely she was. Now, Rich and I both know, going into the show yesterday, that Ashley Alexis has reached out to the show and that Rich has booked her. So we both know she's coming on. Joe does not know. So I wanted to introduce this replay because it is worth replaying. The audience loved it. Is in the beginning, just how Joe is walking back on his love of this Ashley Alexis. He's just, because we know she's coming on. We know she's on hold. He does not know she's on hold. So we're obviously trying to get him to say, like, his love for her and get in that Joe kind of.
What?
When he just starts running out of steam when he's talking about him.
Well, I hear she's local.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's. Count how many times, that's a good point, count how many times he's just like, well, she's local. I support the local people. She's local.
She's from around here. That's confirmed.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that are from the Boston area. That I don't hear you going on and on about all of them, the millions of people that have been born and bred here.
Right.
But without further ado, just keep that in mind. Here's Joe walking back on his love of Ashley Alexis and having to confront his lust as she is on the phone. All right, here we are.
Booty, 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 rockin' everywhere. Booty, 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 rockin' everywhere. Booty, 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 rockin' everywhere.
985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We learned yesterday, or a couple days ago, since Joe Murray's been filling in for Wallach, that he's a self-proclaimed lobster. He's a bottom feeder. He lives at the bottom of the ocean. We learned that when he's on the gram, Instagram, that he... There's a couple ladies he will occasionally communicate with, just say, like, Kowloon.
Who is the one, yeah, who is the one that you were, that you really, really liked, that you said was...
Promoting a local girl, Ashley Alexis.
Okay, and what is it about Ashley Alexis that...
she was on Sports Illustrated Swimsuit. She's a, I guess, a plus-size model. And
you, but you
yeah, she's local, so I, yeah, we've,
but you, but you love, I mean, you love her. I mean,
yeah, she actually tweeted the show yesterday. If you saw that,
I did see it. I tried to get back to her, but it was unfortunate that,
what about her is so wonderful?
She's a beautiful woman.
She's like local,
helping promote like the locals.
Is she, aside from that, no one's accusing you of cheating on your wife. So is she, would she be like your dream girl?
No.
Not your dream?
I think she's a fabulous woman. I do.
Okay. Why are you turning it down right now? Is it because somebody's listening? Do you think? Is there a certain lady in your life who's listening?
Yeah, here I am backpedaling. Right?
because
did
yesterday
you get flack from
totally backpedaling. Okay. Just to keep toning it down a little bit. I might have got really into it yesterday. I think.
Yeah, did you hear about it?
I got a little excited.
Did your wife get mad at you?
No.
All right, but Ashley Alexis is like the epitome of beauty to you.
I just think that big, like, those type of models are, like, you know, where, like, I think that's, like, beauty now.
But out of all of those models, she was the one. You said you're buying her stock.
Well, yeah, I would buy her stock, yes. I think, like, Ashley Graham was the first, like, model, I guess, to, like, promote, like, you know.
But Ashley Lexus was the one. Like, she was the one.
And she's local, too, since she was on Sports Illustrated.
Is she local?
Yes.
Well,
I promote local a lot.
Okay.
Well, Joe, I'm glad that you're a big fan of hers, because we have on the line with us right now, just for you, Joe, one Ashley Alexis.
Hi, Ashley. How are you?
Good morning.
How's it going today?
It is going. I gotta say, you guys definitely made my day yesterday when everybody was in my DMs like, oh my God, you gotta hear this.
So Ashley, what did you think? Because, I mean, first of all, thank you. Ashley did contact us yesterday, and we were back and forth, and she, you know, as you said, listened to the segment. And so, Ashley, when you heard Joe talking about you, you know, that's how did you feel? Like, that sounds, I mean, he is a huge, huge fan of yours.
No, that's something that it's super sweet and it's amazing to me because I am from Boston. It's always wonderful to have someone that like really supports you and is like, yes, like she's doing it. And it's like a feeling that I really can't explain, but it's very heartwarming. So, I mean, like, I know, like, it was about my ass, but...
Well, you're a model. I mean, yeah. It is about your looks.
Of course.
I mean let's be honest. I mean, if you put out a paper on nuclear physics, we'll discuss it. But right now, we are talking about your looks.
You have a master's degree, too. I will just throw that out there.
Absolutely. There's no... I wouldn't doubt it. I'm just... Your ass is part of what sells, though. I mean, especially with the Joey Mirrors of the world.
I'm going to call you a member of the Kowloon crew. Is that okay, Ashley?
Yes, absolutely. Give me all the scorpion bowls.
There we go. So she represents the loon. I have a question for you, though. There's these OnlyFans pages. Obviously, you have one on your own.
Yes.
How do you do an OnlyFans page and keep it clean?
So I actually have never posed nude. Even, you know, my career started with Playboy and I was the only model to be published in 6 countries and never take my clothes off. I know that may be a little disappointing, probably hearing that as a man, but it's more along the lines of I use my OnlyFans to be able to communicate directly to my supporters because I do have quite a lot. It's pretty hard. So that's my main reason for having one. I know that that sounds a little disappointing, but
now, Joe, is that disappointing to you? In all honesty,
no. I've never been on an OnlyFans, but I do know maybe some people might like feet. Some people might like other things.
Do you like feet, Joe?
I'm not a foot person, no.
Okay, you just brought up feet.
Well, right. No, I just was making that some people, some women may do that, right? Ashley, like they may, hey, here's my, you know?
Well, that's easy money.
I have lots of friends that make bank just off their feet.
Is there easier money to be had than, sure, look at them, good, have at it. I mean, what a treat these pervs are out there.
Yeah, I mean, just give the people what they want.
Yeah, exactly. What do I care? Yeah, sure. Here's my foot. Here, look at it all day. But let me ask Joe this. Is it disappointing to you, Joe? Because Ashley Alexa said a couple times, disappointing that she's not posed nude. Is that a disappointment to you?
No.
Are you of the old school burlesque type of mentality?
Yeah, I'd like to just see, like, wonder. You know, the wonder of, ooh, what's under the, you know? That's what I like. Right? Am I wrong here? Like, sometimes it's better not to see what's under, you know?
Imagine it. Yeah, I mean, you can literally imagine the perfect underneath without having to know about it.
Sure, absolutely.
I don't mean to jump into this awkwardness because it's great, but you are obviously very famous, and that means that you probably have gotten DMs from some people that we might know of, some people of notoriety. Is there anybody, like, how often does someone somewhat famous slip into your DMs?
That is not something that we're going to talk about.
Okay. How about just how often? Like, you know, is this something, like, is it weekly, monthly, that you get somebody who you're like, oh my gosh, I know this guy?
A couple times a week, yeah, definitely. I mean, men and women. So it's, you get a little bit best of both there.
Yes. Wow. This, our friends with Wendy Fieri, I believe is what she calls herself on Instagram. Vinny from the Jersey Shore, constantly poking around over there. All right.
As a member of the Jersey Shore.
I believe he's a follower as well, Ashley, right? I think so. He might be.
I don't know. I will say he's never popped into mine. I'll say that much.
Okay. Right, so let me just ask you this. Has anybody else from like the Boston sports scene, you don't have to say who it is, but has anyone from the Boston sports scene contacted you on DMs?
About like a couple years ago, right before I got married.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you were married. We found out about this yesterday from Joe, who knew your marital status. Hey. Now, Would Ashley, now you're local, you go to the Kowloon, Joe goes to the Kowloon, he's married. Would you ever consider you and your husband going out one evening with Joe and his wife? And Joe, would that be awkward for you because she's such an object of lust and desire for you?
My wife probably loves her clothing line and what she has to offer, and they would hit it off very well.
Would it be awkward for you to have such a object of your lust and desire, your sexual fantasy?
No, I think Ashley's beautiful, but I support her. Like, I'm like, go get it, girl. Like, you know?
Yeah, you're the biggest cheerleader.
Yeah,
all right, but
you guys are making me feel all warm and fuzzy.
That's right, Joe. That's the idea that Joe's got.
Joe's face.
Joe's, I know, you got to really, put Joe up on. Nick, put Joe up is yeah, that I want the whole screen on Joe. So Joe, but it would not be awkward with you either.
No.
Here is your sexual fantasy.
It's not my sexual
fantasy. The object of your desires. It's not a sexual fantasy. I mean,
she's a beautiful woman. I support what she does. I love her clothing line. I think she owns
you
it.
You like
her
because of her clothing line.
Listen.
You like her because of the way she looks.
She has some features that I think are that definitely.
Yes,
pop.
You like the way that she looks. She's a fantasy of yours.
When she does that little runway with her arms up in the air, yes, that gives you a little holler every once in a while.
Oh. A little what?
A little holler.
A little holler.
I got a bikini with your name all over it.
Oh boy!
So maybe you could take her down to the Cape, her and her husband, and and your wife, and it would never be awkward.
It would not be awkward whatsoever.
No, because this woman that you've openly lusted for on the radio would be right across from you.
Listen, and I will tell you that most men that like me or find me attractive, their wives are usually more of a supporter than they are.
No, no, so, I know. His wife's not going to care. I don't care about his wife. I'm throwing your husband and his wife in just for the sake of conversation. What's funny to me is, Joe, with you, because how often in our lives, because Ashley, you obviously, I mean, you've been in Playboy. Joe tells me you've been in the swimsuit issue. You're this international sensation. And how often as men do we get to meet and sit next to the object of our deepest desires and fantasies? Not very often. And especially someone who hasn't posed nude, who's not done any of that. This is a woman
good,
who's just known from the glossy pages of magazines, fully clothed, and there you would be, Joe, with her, every vein in your body throbbing with intensity, all the dopamine from your brain being released and telling you your nipples erect, telling you that here you are in the presence.
He's talking about Joe, of course. He's talking about Joe.
Yeah, I'm talking about Joe. The object of every sexual desire, right there across from you.
Yeah, it'd be very comfortable. I'd have fun. I think we'd all have fun. It'd be like the Rocky scene.
Yeah.
You know, the Rocky scene. Exactly.
We would totally have a great time. At the end of the day, I'm just a local boss girl trying to live out little girl dreams.
Well, no. Then why don't they make it happen at Kowloon?
little towny dreams come true right now.
Well, you made one Joe's year right now, but yeah, if that would happen, that would be fantastic. If the four of you guys could, you know, go out and have a nice meal, I'm sure on Andy Wong, I'm sure he would hook you guys up.
Yeah, Andy is the man.
Yes.
There we go.
Rarely do you hear he's not.
I just turned 50 Shades of Bird just now. Literally.
Yeah, you are.
Literally. All right. Ashley, Alexis, for people who are just complete morons and don't know, how do people find you on the internet?
I mean, Instagram, you know, that's the place, or TikTok, because my 30-year-old self finally got on there. you can find me at Ash, A-S-H, Alexis. A-L-E-X-I-S-S. And yeah, so I'm friendly. I'm a ball of fun, so come find me.
All right, Joe, would you like to say anything?
Ashley, thank you so much for calling in. We support you big time, and hopefully we'll see you around soon.
Yeah, you guys are so awesome. You totally made my week.
You made someone else's week.
You made Joe's week. Ashley, thank you so much. You're a wonderful woman, and thank you so much for joining.
Thanks, Ashley.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Call it Paul, Bubba Sparks.
Please tell me you were watching Joe's face, Fred.
The problem is Nick didn't have the greatest instincts, and he had him low on the screen for a while. So I couldn't see the big picture of Ashley Alexis up. And I wanted to see Joe, but Joe, how you feeling?
Great, that was cool.
All right. Joe is like doing some massive downplaying right now.
I don't know what happened. Joe thinks he went too overboard, apparently. Do you think you went too overboard before?
You gotta respect everybody, you know what I mean?
Oh, okay, so
respect your wife.
You gotta talk it to, right?
Sometimes you gotta just... I went home going, that probably wasn't good.
Okay, I gotta find out. I need you to ask your wife whether or not she'd be willing to go out to dinner with...
Oh, I don't know, yeah. I think she's their supporter. They're supporter of hers.
All right. Thank you to Ashley Alexis for reaching out.
She reached out to us, and she goes, you know, I heard the thing, it was hysterical, and I was like, well, would you want to come on and make this guy's ear? She goes, absolutely.
Oh, you played it off. I asked you this morning, too. Rich never spoils us.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
What's up? To get you going every day.
I don't care for the sportsman-like talk.
Toucher and Rich.
At least let me live in a fantasy world that for 3 hours you hate each other.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Break up the five villain.
crime. Up with us, you insane in the mind. You cowards way out of line. Money talk, boy, you wasting my time. You don't want to put the work in. You just want to taste the shine.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Bert Breer is the senior NFL reporter and lead content strategist for the MMQB. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. He's also a good friend of Ashley Alexis, the big booty model that Joe Murray, did you, how was that for you yesterday afterwards? Did you communicate with her at all on the internet?
Yes, she said that was, you know, yeah, we communicated. I said, thanks for being a good sport, and, you know.
Good sport. There was nothing to be a good sport about. I mean, she was being fawned over. She's a model. Good sport.
I think she enjoyed it. Her,
good sports, like after like stern through salami, like on a chick. Good sport. I mean, she came on and was praised. I mean, that good sport. I mean, who couldn't take that kind of lusting? I mean, that's good stuff.
Yeah, she enjoyed it.
All right. Do you think you're going to go out to lunch, dinner?
I said, Kowloon. I talked to Andy yesterday, and he said he'll make it happen.
Really? So this is
the wheels are in motion.
Met. That's how we all met, because it was the whole Kowloon thing.
Hmm. Yeah, local girl.
The only reason. Either way, where is she local?
Huh. Joe, is she local?
Yeah.
She is, okay.
All right, well, Bert Breer is not local. He is on the road. He's taking the Peter King. He's taking the bull by the horns with Peter King. It's weird being on Twitch and actually seeing him. This is very uncomfortable. But well, that doesn't sound good.
It does not sound great, does it?
It sounds cool, but it's not going to make for a good interview. I think that's on our end. Yeah, we're going to call you, Bert. All right, we'll call you. No need to appease the five people on Twitch at this point. We're just going to have to call Bert Breer. He had been in Green Bay. He had been in Chicago. He's been all over. So we will talk to him. But Joe, this is happening. So.
Well, I don't know. I'll let you know if it happens. You know, she travels, right? She's in like California, and yeah, she's got a clothing line. She's always like she's doing photos every day, man.
Yeah, so I don't know if that requires her traveling. But
Joe's like Ty Law; he's doing a lot of backpedaling.
Yes, indeed. I don't know what happened with Joe, but Joe, did your wife give you crap?
No. Dude, I was ranking women's asses on the air. It's probably not like the. I mean, it was funny.
You weren't ranking them.
Weren't we ranking women? We weren't.
No, I was. I put fattest models into a Google search.
The top 50 came up, didn't they?
In the top 50. I didn't rank anybody. I was just reading the names to see if you knew them, because I put best butts, and those were all foreign to you. You didn't know any of the so-called best butts. But then I put fattest models, and you knew them all. So you weren't ranking anything. You weren't doing anything.
Yeah. It's
you
a familiarity thing, Fred. That's all it was.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just wanted to see who you knew. Like,
the heart wants what
followed.
The heart wants. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You weren't ranking anything. I this is a world. See, Joe, I'm fascinated by this world because this is a world I don't live in. Like, I never had heard of Ashley Alexis in my entire life. I had never run across her. Now, she was in the swimsuit issue?
Yes.
She's okay.
Playboy as well. She has a whole swimwear.
She has a whole swimwear?
Yes, yep.
Okay, that's not English, but she has a line of swimwear.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll get into this more as the show goes on, because now I want to know if you are indeed going to dine at the Loon. All right, we're the heart wants what the heart wants over Saugus Wings. Well, Bert Breer, you were in Chicago now, but you were in Green Bay. Am I wrong or am I right?
I was in Green Bay until about 9 o'clock last night, and almost fell asleep driving to Chicago. So I'm just glad I'm talking to you guys right now.
How long a drive is that from Green Bay to Chicago?
It's about 2.5 hours to where I was going, but then I hit traffic, and because I sort of felt sorry for myself, I stopped and got some Wendy's, and I happened to be in like a bad part of Milwaukee, and there was a massive line in the drive-thru. So a little touch and go there for a few minutes.
Oh, it can't be any worse than the Taco Bell by my house in Atlanta, where you could see the drug deals go down, and they would throw the drugs into this bush and then walk away, and then someone would come by and pick up the drugs and throw money in the bush, And it was like, if I can see this, what's even the point of this? Just hand them the drugs. I never quite understood what was going on there. But Rich has seen much worse in that same exact area. But all right. So you were there for the whole Aaron Rodgers thing with the new contract. So basically, they have control over him for the next 2 years, and then he's a free agent, correct?
Right. And I think, like, realistically, what this does is it creates a decision point after next year for them. And it never made sense for them to go down to a one-year deal, because then they would have lost the ability to get anything back for him. They would have been in the same position the Patriots were in 2019. So, you know, they had to find a solution where, you know, he was going to be able to exert some leverage and try to get out after next year if he still wants to get out, but also, you know, allow the team to have the ability to get something back for him. So, you know, basically what the way this sets up, he doesn't get a raise, and they're cutting the last year off of his deal, and they're giving him assurances through the way the contract's written to that he won't be tagged in 2023. So basically at the end of this year, the Packers are going to be at the point where it's either we can try to ride it out with him for another year, but we won't be able to get anything in return. We can trade him, or we can give him an extension if he wants to stay. So, yeah, I mean, this is sort of like the Russell Wilson situation in Seattle, where they've pushed pause on everything that happened over the last 6 months. They're going to go try to win a Super Bowl, and there's a good chance that we're going to be right back in the same place in February.
Who won? Did Aaron Rodgers win? Did the Packers win? Who won this whole standoff?
I think the Packers won, because, I mean, if you look at their roster and, like, the amount of guys they have that are right in the prime of their careers, I mean, I think you can argue there aren't five better rosters in football than what Green Bay has right now. So, you know, that was what was sort of weird about the whole thing. And we talked about this, Fred. Like, how bad does he really have it in Green Bay, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, the Packers, like, Jordan Love's not ready. The Packers have the best quarterback in the league in their roster, and they want to have a chance to compete for a championship. And so they get that. And then on top of that, they get another year to develop Jordan Love. And if Jordan Love comes along, they'll be able to get a whole lot for Aaron Rodgers after this year if they choose to trade him.
So what's your feeling? What's the vibe? It just seems that there's a chance maybe Aaron Rodgers just finishes his career in Green Bay. He'll be 38. I know that quarterbacks don't get hit anymore, so they can play till whenever they want. But he'll be 38.
Yeah.
Would it be the worst thing in the world if they just hung on to him for 2 years and then let him go? I mean, that doesn't even seem bad to me. Just fine,
yeah,
let him go.
I mean, it depends on what you can get for him, though. You know, like the most.
Yeah, but if I get another year with everyone in their prime and, like you said, the best quarterback in football, and we did draft a kid. And so he'll have been sitting for 3 years. Wouldn't it be worth having Aaron Rodgers for that year? I mean, in competing for a Super Bowl and then letting him just go?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends. It sort of depends on where you are after this year. But yeah, I mean, that's certainly something that they could look at. Now, the question is he going to go forward with that? Is he going to be okay with that?
Yeah, that's the thing. Is he going to go bitch again?
That's the problem. Well, I mean, like, I think that's the one thing. I mean, to me, like I understand your logic, but that's sort of the problem, is that, like, that's the one scenario that he probably wouldn't be happy with under any circumstance, because he's either going to want to go or he's going to want to stay after this year. And if he wants to stay, well, then he's going to want an extension, right? Like, so, which isn't a bad result either. It's just, you know, I think the way this is set up and the way they're trying to set it up is, let's take this as it goes for the next 6 months, and maybe it works and maybe it doesn't. But one way or the other, we're going to know more about where the relationship stands in 6 months, and then we'll be able to make a decision from there. And so, I don't know if it really works for anybody just to go into a lame duck year in 2022. In fact, like, Aaron Rodgers used that word, you know, said, like, I don't want to be a lame duck quarterback. That'd be exactly what he'd be going into 2022 in that scenario.
You're,
all right.
Well, Bert, you were in Green Bay. Is there sympathy for Aaron Rodgers from the fan base? Because if I were a fan, I'd be pissed.
Yeah, I think, you know what's funny, Jones, is, like, it's a little bit like Favre in 2000, and that would have been 2008, where there's definitely a faction of the fan base, it seems like, that is on Aaron Rodgers' side and just is distrustful of management, didn't like the way the Favre thing happened 13 years ago, which, by the way, really worked out for the team, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but I think there is a faction of the fan base that's saying, like, how did you screw this up, you know? And it's not so much taking sides and saying one side's right or the other side's wrong. More so, it's, you know, I think there's an old school way of doing things in that organization. There's always been this players play, scout, coaches coach, managers manage, that type of structure to that organization. And, you know, I think Aaron Rodgers, just like Brett Favre 13 years ago, wanted to be treated as something different, you know, and wanted to have more of a voice. And I think that there's definitely a faction of that Packer fan base that's saying, like, you didn't need to do that much to make this dude happy. And you were so stuck in your ways that you couldn't bend even a little bit to make one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time happy. Why didn't you just do it? And I think that that's the, you know, that's like the reasonable people who have taken Rodgers' side on this and saying that everybody could have done a little bit more so you wouldn't have been in this spot in the first place.
All right, Bert Breer is going to continue with us. He is traveling around the league, having microbrews at every stop, and doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, just like Peter King. It's contractually obligated to write about those things as he goes about his business.
And
we'll be back.
Going to drive-thrus in dangerous areas of town, too.
Well, I mean, God bless your heart, Bert. I don't know how you survived. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub. What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, we're Cutcher and Rich. Bert Breer is insisting on getting some microphone. Is he on the phone?
I'm here.
It's going.
He's there. He should be there. Yeah. Sorry.
All right. Okay. Are you on? All right. Okay. So as long as I can hear you, I don't care. All right. Here we are. We're the Touch and Rich Radio Program. Bert Breer from MMQB is driving around the country, sipping on micro brews, doing the New York Times crossword puzzle, having some coffees. All right. Can we just have him on the phone?
We're good. I just had to mute the computer. Can you hear me all right?
All right. Yes. Bert is insisting upon this computer. What, do you got a bunch of TV hits today?
Hey, I hauled the mic like across the country, so I wanted to at least try to make it work. Car earlier. That was the problem. It's good now.
Are you driving across the country or are you flying to some places?
No, I flew to Minneapolis, and then I'm driving across the Midwest, and then I'll fly from Cincinnati to L.A., no, San Francisco, and then I'm going to do a bunch of camps out there and then come back.
Wow. So you're just a man on the move alone.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, like, a big part of it is just, like, I would much rather do a 3 or 4 hour drive and just be alone in the car than go through an airport and do a bunch of, like, a series of 1 hour flights. You know what I mean?
So your thoughts do not get the best of you in the car.
No, I mean, the best part is you can come and go when you want to, right? Like, that's the biggest part for me is, like, I can, if somebody asks me, if I want to go see a coach and he says, hey, can you wait a couple hours? I can wait a couple hours and I can leave later then. Whereas if you have a flight, you can't do that, you know?
All right.
All right. Well, plus, as Fred pointed out, like, you can plan your trip around all the breweries on the way. You know, you can.
Yeah, I'm a big brewery guy over here.
You can get yourself a nice nice microbrew, as he said. You can't do that if you're flying.
You can have a sip of a nice microbrew.
Right.
All right.
No microbrews in Delta Coach.
Yeah, well, listen, Delta Coach on a Midwestern shuttle, nothing wrong with that. All right. Listen, Bert, Deshaun Watson is back in Houston. Mm-hmm. You write about this in MMQB. Just an update on, obviously, he has a doofus as an owner, and that's never going to get better, and they're going to have to get rid of him. But where does that stand? Is he going to play? We had Will Brinson on, and Will wasn't certain that he was going to get suspended. He said that he wasn't certain that was going to happen. It sounds to me like he's definitely going to get – It's not if, it's when. Okay, thank you. Because I was like, if a big deal goes down involving him and it dominates sports talk for, you know, a week while this is all going on, I have a feeling the NFL doesn't want that. So right. I have a feeling he's not getting moved before this is reconciled.
So I think part of this is like people on Deshaun Watson's side trying to keep him off the exempt list to try and facilitate a trade. Now, the question is, do they seek a settlement? Because until the legal part of it is done, I don't know that he actually gets suspended. Now, I felt for a while that this was going to be settled before the season. Maybe that doesn't happen now. But absolutely, like there's like I just think the league doesn't want what's going on right now, which is this story just got new life breathed into it over the course of the last few days. And the chance that he gets traded before the season goes up if he's on the field, and the fact that he's on the field now, like, you know, I think that I'm having trouble like collecting my thoughts on this, Fred. I don't know why.
Okay. But will the league allow him to get traded before this is settled?
Yeah, the league. Well, hold on a second here. You know what it is? It's the echo. I have an echo on my side.
It's not bothering it's us.
My, this
it's
is totally my fault. I botched this whole thing. All right. So I think Deshaun Watson's side, like, I think a big part of like him showing up this week is because Deshaun Watson's side wants to expedite a trade. Him showing up this week makes it uncomfortable on the Texans. And so can they get somebody to offer the Texans what it'll take to get him moved? The league can't do anything right now to stop
him
from
getting traded. They can't block it.
They can't do anything to block him from getting traded right now.
Could they could Goodell get in the ear of the owners and be like, because I would imagine this happens, and be like, don't make a move.
I think that would happen probably more between the individual owners.
Okay,
but there's nothing Goodell can do to stop a trade from happening.
No, but he could lean on, to Fred's point, he could lean on an owner, right, and kind of say, hey, this wouldn't be in the best interest of the league.
Right. No, he could do that. And owners lean on each other. Like, I think on, you know, in some of the quarterback situations, Jones, over the course of the last few months, I do think that there was owners leaning on each other saying, like, hold firm, because they don't want these sort of situations to arise with their own quarterbacks, you know? So that stuff definitely happens. I think what Deshaun Watson wants out of Houston, and I think part of what made him, you know, part of what was going to expedite a trade is having him on the field there and making the Texans uncomfortable. And I think that that's what all of this was about. And I think that's part of why the Texans have responded the way they have. And so the problem the Texans have right now, because I do think that they would trade him, is if you're Nick Caserio, do you deal Deshaun Watson for anything less than like an absolutely historic return? You can't, right? He's a 25-year-old franchise quarterback under contract for the next 5 years. On the flip side, under these circumstances, can another team give up a historic haul to go and get him? Probably not, right?
Right.
Like, and to get sign off from your owner, you'd probably have to be able to go to your owner and saying, we're getting a really good deal here. And so I think that's sort of where it is that like Nick Caserio can't have his first major move as the general manager of the Texans be like, I'm going to give away Deshaun Watson for 50 cents on the dollar. And right. Right now, if you're trying to sell him on the open market, you're selling low.
All right. So Florio came out and said that he'd been hearing that some Patriot players had come to the conclusion that Cam Newton. I don't understand Florio at all, to be honest with you, but this was brought to my attention. I don't read Florio's stuff. I don't care. I like the kid. I like what's his face, the Giants quarterback's kid, Sims because he likes Zach Wilson so much, and that gets me very excited. But but I don't really care that much about Florio. But he said that the Patriots players were saying that Cam Newton, you know, he's not the same as he was, as if that was some kind of major mystery. What do you make of that report? Is it anything? Does it have any meaning in anything, or is it just Florio saying hello?
Well, no, I think like sense I got, like just having talked to people, is that the I think that the narrative out of Foxborough has changed a little bit. Whereas last year, I think because guys there genuinely like Cam, there was a lot of, well, it's a new system. Well, you know, over the last couple of years, he's gone through the toe injury and the shoulder injury. And I think because Cam was such a good soldier last year and what was a really bad situation around him, you know, I think there was a lot of, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see how this plays out. It's a new system. It's the first time he's changed teams. And, you know, I think over the course of the last 4 or 5 months, it sort of has to be go time for him. Like like the Patriots players, the coaches, everybody in that building needs to see more from him. And so I think the narrative out of there is like, has he lost it? Like, is this not coming back? And so, you know, I think that it's gone from give him the benefit of the doubt. He has a long track record. He's a very well-liked player in the locker room. He's doing everything right, to now it's time, because you've got a rookie who looks like he can play behind you. And there's a lot of veteran players on the team that aren't going to have too many more shots at this.
Okay. So what is your feeling on the whole Mac Jones thing? What are you hearing around the league about him?
Well, I think with Mac, like, and we've talked about this in the spring, like really, like all Mac could do was create a situation where he can compete in the summer, because, you know, they'll give you the line down there that the spring is about, you know, conditioning and teaching and fundamentals. And all a rookie can really do in that sort of circumstance is put himself in a position to compete and create a competition in the summer. Mac did that in the spring. And so now, you know, they've got the week-long ramp-up period, and I'm thinking what you're going to read out of Foxborough over the next week is going to be good day, bad day, good day, bad day, because that's the way a lot of teams break in rookie quarterbacks, is that they'll throw a ton at them one day, and then you'll hear how that quarterback threw 3 picks and looked awful, and God, how can they throw him out there? And then the next day, he'll look great, and they'll build him back up. So I think, you know, buckle up, because over the next couple of weeks, especially when the pads go on, I'm thinking we're going to have ups and downs with Mac Jones. And my guess is in the end, it won't mean a whole lot, because they're going to be just sort of throwing stuff at him, seeing what he can handle, trying to maintain his confidence through that. So I don't know that we're going to get any clues as far as what comes out in those practice reports and what people are saying they saw down there. I think the thing that you have to watch is who's playing with who. And if we start to see Mac playing more with the first offensive line, and in there with Kendrick Bourne and Nelson Aguilar and Damian Harris, that really means something. To me, like the day in, day out, like ups and downs don't mean quite as much as who are the coaches preparing the guy to play with.
All right. Well, Bert, so you are in Chicago today. Will you be, you'll be very excited to see your college not alumni, but fellow Ohio Stadium.
I don't know if he's graduated yet. Yeah.
What the hell's going on in college football right now, Bert? All these conferences and everything like that.
Yeah. I love it. Like the drama, the money grabbing, the backstabbing. It's fantastic.
Ohio State would never make it in the SEC.
It's all to create more educational opportunities for the kids.
Oh, is that what it is? The educational opportunities?
Yeah, because like, the SEC is just trying to create more educational opportunities for the kids. Like, you know, the student in Columbia, South Carolina is really going to benefit from the University of Oklahoma being in the conference.
Finally, Texas will be able to recruit now that they're in the SEC. Yeah, yeah. The idea that Texas is not perennially the number one team in the nation is insane. You were sitting
in
there.
In Austin,
Texas. You could just recruit within 50 miles of your university and win every game, but they're unable to do that. So good. Let them move to the SEC.
I love how Texas too, like, took this, like basically bent everyone in the Big 12 over to stay 10 years ago. And they had this unbelievable TV deal where they get a bigger percentage of everything than anyone else. And they still screwed all those schools in the end.
Well, because they suck. because they can't get out of their own way. You're right. So they could tell the kid, all right, you don't have to leave the state. You probably grew up fantasizing about playing here. We have our own network. Every one of your games is going to be on TV.
Oh, and now you're going to get covered. Paid.
Yeah, and well, you're right. But before that even. But this is before. And you get there's 24 hours worth of coverage on you, and they still can't put it together to beat Indiana, to like outrank Indiana. I mean, get out of here.
Our college football writer had the best our college football writer had the best analogy. He said Texas football is the rich kid who keeps crashing the family Ferrari.
Yeah. Well, it's the owner of the Texans. It's the McCown. Yeah. It's the kid who crashes the thing they inherit. All right. Well, Bert Brewer, stay out of the Wendy's as a drive-thru.
Sorry
obviously...
for the technical issues, guys. I'll be better next week, I promise.
Your technical issue.
It'll be 4 a.m. next
head.
Week.
Huh? Yeah.
It'll be 4 a.m. next week for me.
Well, I won't be here, so I will be I'm living the La Vida Loca in Loudoun, Tennessee with my family. I'll tell you, I might leave the house. All right. Well, Bert, thank you so much for the time, sir. Have a good week. Safe travels. We'll be back in just a minute.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.